You just talking.
Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me what you want me to do.
Establishing your faith. You got to listen to the end in the studio. Brother Dan's at home eating a big bowl of spaghetti or something. What you have for supper, Dan? Well, Dan and Gwen.
Yes, that's right. You're home. Is Gwen with you?
Yeah.
Hello, Gwen.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. It's so good to hear your voice pop in every once in a while.
Yeah,
I love
it. So we'll have you do all the reading tonight. You can do it all.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No problem. Brother Rogers put us over there in Warren, England. Good evening, brothers. Good to have you on this tonight. I'm somewhere. Oh, thank you. I'm somewhere out here in the wilderness of the real coast of Tacoma, you know, right where they won the battle. And all the people left their belongings behind. And, you know, they were 2 days carried away to spoil.
Battle of Tocoa.
Yeah.
Really.
Anyways, it's gonna be a good night. YouTube with us.
YouTube is with us just now.
All right. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. This morning on Giving 15. Friday morning, Debbie 15, Brother Dutch Sheets is having a prophetic word that he shares with all of us. And this morning's was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to share it with you. And then we're going to read the story of Esther, because that's what they're going to be talking about. On the and the lady's going to preach about it, teach about it for 15 minutes, and then Sister Van is going to read the story, and I'm going to come back and make some statements also at the end, because this is a prayer that we have been praying now for quite a while, and it's so awesome to see God speaking it to one of his major leaders in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And the fact that you and I are connected right into that just because we're listening to the Holy Spirit and we're walking with God every day. I mean, that's just, that's so encouraging. You know, it's interesting. Last night when we read our verses, we read the story of Rahab the harlot. And that's who Dr. Burke was preached about last night, was Rahab the harlot. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm. Love it when that happens.
I love it when that happens. Hey, you took those words right out of my mouth. Might be terrible. I wouldn't want to bite you, but... Anyways, welcome to Establishing Your Faith. If you're new here and you're wondering what this is all about, this is a gathering of believers who get together every night to study faith and to learn to walk in faith. And thank God that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Even our faith. Amen.
That's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And thank God that this is the victory that overcomes the world.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So, are you ready to start, Brother Dutch, yet or no?
Yes. So where do you want me to start?
We're going to go right to this message from Brother Beth Sheets, because once I get done preaching it, I want this man to just read the story of Esther so that you can hear exactly what was being said from Lynn Hammond or whatever his name is. What's her name?
Hammond. I remember that part. I do not read. Susan? Was that her first name, Susan?
Yes.
Maybe.
Because she says it's not Hammond.
Not Hammond. That's right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we are going to Brother Dutch Sheets.
Well, thank you. We are excited about today's post because we have a very special guest, a friend on with us today, Jane Hammond, the wife of the incomparable Tom Hammond, and daughter-in-law of the person I consider to be the patriarch, the father of the modern day prophetic movement, Bill Hammond. I love this family dearly. We go back a long ways. We run together. We pray together. We work together. And it's just a real honor to have Jane on with us today. There will be a link provided for you at the end of today's post so you can check out their website, what they do, many, many wonderful books that they've written that will help instruct you on the prophetic and interpreting dreams, et cetera. Perhaps Jane will talk about one or mention one today. That I hope she does. But anyway, I don't tell these prophetic friends of mine what to do, what to say, or where to go. I just want to know what they're hearing that is current word for the church, the nation, et cetera, what we need to hear, where we need to go, what strategy God may be bringing. And so I'm just going to flip it to Jane and let her take it. Jane, thank you for joining us. What are you hearing? Where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about?
Well, thanks, Dutch. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be with you. I love Give Him 15s. I think that they're absolutely revolutionizing the church world today and discipling nations by the messages that you're bringing on a consistent basis. I'm really excited to be here because I have a message that I think the Lord has really put on my heart for this season. June the 15th this year, I was out on a ministry trip, and I rolled over in bed in the middle of the night. As Dutch knows, I have a lot of dreams that I don't know if this was a dream or exactly what it was, but as soon as I was awake, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell the body of Christ that it's time for the hanging of Haman's 10 sons. I got up, I wrote it down. I was like, well, I have really no idea fully what that means, but I know that it is a time of demarcation in the body of Christ. And of course, this refers to the book of Esther. And a time when God was releasing his judgment, his justice into a land, when this evil, wicked man named Haman, and I do want to point out that his name is Haman and not Hammond, okay, since that's my name, please don't be casting out the spirit of Hammond. Please don't be, you know, rebuking the spirit of Hammond. Okay, our name is Hammond, his name is Haman. Okay, so, and so he wrote this evil decree of death and destruction against God's people. And because he hated Mordecai, I think Mordecai is a representation of the Holy Spirit, but he didn't count on the fact that Esther, who was a Jew, one of God's people, was queen. And just to dissuade you of any idea that the book of Esther is a Cinderella story about a young orphaned girl that marries a powerful king, that is not what Esther is actually about. Esther is about the modern day church. Esther is about the church that's rising up to answer a call. The church that's rising up to say, if I perish, I perish. A church that's rising up to realize we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. A church that understands we can go before the throne of the king and have a scepter of favor extended to us and release decrees that actually shift a nation. And I believe that this is the message that God is putting upon the church today, that there is an overturning of demonic decrees, an overturning of things that have been set in motion. Because what Haman's decree did is it designated a certain day that said, wherever in the land you find a Jew, you can kill them and you can take their property. And so in Esther chapter 7, we actually find that God exposed this plan, this plot, and how he was coming against the queen in Esther chapter 7. And the king actually ordered Haman's death. Actually, the way that he killed him is that he ordered him to be hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And I believe that we're in a season right now where God is giving the enemy enough rope to hang himself. Listen, back in January of 2021, we were praying about our nation, praying about what was going on in our nation. And I heard the Lord say something very simple. He said, tell the people I'm up to something. I had a feeling I wasn't going to really like the long process that was going to be involved. But listen, God plays the long game. God is not always interested in the short run, but he's interested in the long game. And I firmly believe that God is ministering, God is working on behalf of America. And we're coming into this season that I believe we're going to see a lot of the plans and schemes of the enemy boomerang back on his own head. The Lord said to me when he said to me about the Haman's 10 sons, let me read you the scripture. It says in Esther chapter 9, verse 24, Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the arch enemy of all the Jews, had schemed to destroy all Jews. He cast the lot to throw them into panic and destroy them. Let me just say this to you. Do not panic. God's up to something. Don't freak out. God's up to something. I'm telling you, he hears our prayers. Amen. He hears the decrees. God's ears is not deaf and his arm is not short to save. But it says that he tried to throw them into panic to destroy them. But when Queen Esther, the ecclesia, intervened with the king, he gave written orders that the evil scheme that Haman had worked out should boomerang back on his own head. He and his sons were hanged on the gallows, and that's why these days were called Purim. Now listen, Purim in the Hebraic culture is called the holiday of reversals. The holiday of reversals. And the Lord started speaking to us about 7 years ago, Dutch. I think it was 2015. You and I were both hearing from the Lord about it being a season of reversals. This is the seventh year of that. Seven is the number of completion, perfection, wholeness, finishing, and covenant. And I believe that we're in a covenant season of seeing some things reversed that God set in motion even 7 years ago. I think it's amazing that God spoke this to me on June the 15th. And on June the 24th, we saw the overturning of a decree of death and destruction with the overturning of Roe versus Wade. So just a little before, just a week before, the Lord had spoken this to me. But here's the thing. In Esther chapter 7, Haman was hung on the gallows. But in Esther chapter 8, Esther's still coming before the king saying, you know, king, we need a reversal of this decree. See, Haman was dead, but his decree wasn't dead yet. Listen, Roe versus Wade is dead, but abortion is still an issue in our nation. It's as much an issue now and for this midterm election as it ever has been. And so God is serious about dealing with the full effects of the decrees of Haman. I'm not saying that abortion is the only thing, but the enemy had set some things in motion. So what happened is Esther came before the king and said, can you overthrow this? Can you overturn this decree? And here was the king's response. He said, you yourself write a new decree. That's the authority we've been given. Write it in the king's name, seal it with the king's signet ring, because whatever you write in the king's name cannot be revoked. And so Esther called Mordecai, and they sat down and they wrote a decree. Now, just to draw a giant exclamation on this, Dutch, I was studying this out. I was up in Atlanta where you and I were together at the Atlanta City Gate Conference. And the amazing thing was is that I was studying this out a few days before, and it actually says on the 23rd day of Sivan on the Hebrew month, Esther and Mordecai wrote this decree. And I've probably read Esther 8 and 9. I can't even tell you how many times. But it just occurred to me that day, I wonder what day the 23rd day of Sivan is on our Roman calendar. And I Googled it, thank God for Google, and it was the very day I was studying. The exact day, I think it was June 21st, the exact day I was studying. It was like God drawing a giant exclamation point and going, I'm telling you, this is for now. This is the now season for this word for the body of Christ. And so they wrote this decree that authorized the people of God to fight back against all the works of darkness that the enemy had been sending against them. And I love what it says at the very last verse of chapter 8. And I want you to hear this, because what we're doing is we're warring, we're contending, we're praying, we're decreeing, we're doing spiritual warfare for our nation. But the goal isn't just to war. The goal is to see awakening and revival, souls saved, a harvest come in. So look at this. On the 23rd day of Sivan, they wrote this decree. It got dispersed out to the different parts of the land. And look at this. In chapter 8, verse 17, it says, in each and every province and each and every city, wherever the king's command and his decree arrived, the Jews celebrated with joy and gladness a feast and a holiday, celebrating this holiday of reversals, which, by the way, when we're in Christ, every single day is a day of reversal. The gospel message, start to finish, is a message of reversal. It is a message of seeing the curse turn to a blessing for us. It is a message of breaking the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, breaking his authority off of a people, off of a land. But watch this. It says, then many of the people in that land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews and their God had fallen upon them. What is that? That is revival. Listen, these people that the day before were going to kill them, all of a sudden they're like, you know what? I think I'm going to become one of them. Okay? Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Such an incredible turnaround. And so then in chapter 9, we see this other turnaround that happened, because, you know, all these the governors and all the satraps and all the leaders in the land, they were pretty much in league with Haman. But now Haman's dead, and in Esther chapter 9, verse 1, it says, on the very day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, the reverse occurred, and instead God's people had power over those that hated them. Now, let me say that in the book of Esther in chapter 9, it broke out, and it ended up being a lot of battling in the streets. Now, our battle is not with flesh and blood. Let me be clear about that. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and in high places. And so our battle is a spiritual battle. But in the book of Esther, I mean, they wiped out the enemy. And in the midst of that, they took out Haman's 10 sons. And in that process, listen to this. It says in verse 9, it says, even all the officials and the provinces and the chief rulers and the governors and those who attended to the king's business, all the government turned and supported the Jews in defeating their enemies, because the fear of Mordecai and his God's power had fallen on them. I'm telling you, we are going to see the fear of the Lord come upon the land, the fear of the Lord come upon some of our government leaders, and we're going to see some miraculous reversals in this coming day. It's like blinders are going to come off of people's eyes, and they're going to say, man, we need to be on God's side. We need to be on the side of saving a nation. We need to be on the side of revival. We need to be on the side of turnaround. Now, let me just wrap this up by saying this. Haman's 10 sons were then also hung on the gallows. When I really study out Haman, it says that he was an Agagite. And that Agag was the king of the Amalekite tribe. The Amalekites come from Esau, and Esau and Jacob always were battling. But the interesting thing, every time you see the Amalekites, they're robbing from Israel. They're battling against Israel. And it really does go to John chapter 10, verse 10, that says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The name Amalekite means plunderer. It is the robber. It is the thief of destinies, the thief of nations. And I'm telling you, God is very serious right now and about dealing with Haman. And all 10 of his sons, their names mean stuff like rebellion, apathy, complacency, witchcraft, fear, intimidation. I don't have time to go into all of that today. But I'm telling you, God is very serious about dealing with the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy over our individual lives, but also off of our families, off of our prosperity, off of our posterity, our legacy, where the enemy comes to try to rob our peace, and where the enemy tries to come and rob the prophetic destiny of a nation. And so, Dutch, I just believe that we're coming into a very serious season of God overturning, and it's going to be a little chaotic, kind of like it was in chapter 9, because people are going to have to make some decisions about how they're going to align. But I do believe that we're coming into one of the greatest days of turnaround that our nation and the earth honestly has ever seen.
Hallelujah.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. You know, sometimes when I listen to people like you and some of my other friends who get this amazing prophetic revelation, I remember, this is not very spiritual, I remember a Batman movie where the Joker sees all these contraptions Batman has, says, where did he get these toys? And I think, where did they get all this revelation? It's just an example to me of why we need the prophetic anointing, because God can take the scriptures, bring them into today, show us what he's saying about that today, like you've done here. And then, of course, it drives you to study and find out what these names mean and get prophetic symbolism. It's just incredible. And it's so encouraging, Jade. I can't tell you how many people I've heard, at least four or five in the last few weeks, talking about boomerang and reversal. This is a great confirmation from scripture of what God is about to do. And frankly, I had forgotten that Purim was called a season or time or whatever it was, celebration of holiday of reversal. But it is. God's about to reverse things. And so I'm telling people what you're telling people. Hey, we have to persevere. Our timing is not always God's timing, but that's because he's doing so much more than the one thing we're asking for, believing for. God has the future in mind, the big picture in mind, millions of people in mind. He's always doing something more. This is incredible. People, I'm sure, can hear the full message of this if they go to your website. You probably have something there. I know you have incredible books. I want you to go visit Jane's material because you will be blessed. But before we go, just lead us in prayer regarding this for a minute or two, if you would, Jane.
I sure will.
Is just so powerful.
Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your times and your seasons, Lord. You see the end game. And I thank you, Father, that you have put it on the heart for a company of people, an ecclesia, to rise up in this season of time. And we're going to take back everything the enemy has stolen.
Amen.
We're going to take back our kids. We're going to take back our grandkids.
Yes.
We're going to take back our destiny. We're going to take back finances. We're going to take back peace and joy,
yes,
and vision. But, Lord, we're going to take back our nation from the hands of the enemy. You're going to break the hold of the conspirators in the spirit, those things that have been sent against. That's what Haman's 10 sons were. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you're breaking the yoke, you're hanging them up, and you're declaring this is the end of Haman's reign. We thank you, Father, that Jesus did this when he spoiled principalities and powers, and he led them captive, and he made an open show of them. Lord, I believe you're going to make an open show of the enemy and his plans, and that these schemes are going to boomerang back on his own head. We decree it's a boomerang season of revival, a boomerang season of reversals, and a boomerang season, Father, where we take back everything the robber has taken. I thank you, God, for eyes being opened. And if anybody's discouraged, I'm telling you, just begin to stir yourself up in the spirit, because God is saying, I'm up to something. Powerful, powerful things are ahead. So, Father, I bless every single listener, and thank you, God, that you're assembling an Esther Ecclesia in this season of time that's going to turn the world upside down.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. I agree completely. Thank you so much. This has been incredible. Appreciate it, and appreciate your family, Tom, Bishop, all of you. You do such wonderful work for the Lord. And thank all of you for joining us today. And I look forward to seeing you again on Monday. God bless you.
Now, is that awesome or what? Ooh, and there's Charity Gale. We always love to hear Charity Gale, too. So wasn't that encouraging and awesome? And I love it. And that's what we're going to read tonight. That's what Pastor has asked us to read, is the story of Esther and tell about Haman. I did not realize, of course, that would take some serious study. Oh, I guess here I go. Serious study to realize the names of his 10 sons and what they represented. That is so interesting to me.
Brother Dan had that. I don't know if he...
Oh, yeah, that's that, right.
I didn't ever get a chance to look.
I can put it out somewhere in the apartment.
I have
to go to the site. I'm going to see what works.
All right. You can read it if you want to, too, but that's up to you.
I don't know if I can get over the sun's name.
Yes, some of those names are something else, aren't they? Oh, my goodness. Do we still have... Okay, you guys are on Zoom, right? Okay, because for some reason, I am not... Oh, I know why. I was going to say I'm not able to get my Zoom back here because I didn't stop share was what that was. Okay. So did you say you had it, Dan? Did you want to read it or no? The names?
Well, I don't think I'll read the names.
Okay. Or what they mean. But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was so interesting to me, too, that she said that their whole scheme was to throw people into a panic to be able to destroy them. And I so thoroughly believe, well, that is what keeps happening here, is they keep coming up with all of these things to throw people into a panic, because then it is easy to manipulate and destroy people and get them to submit to
about anything.
Yeah. Yep.
By using fear.
Yep. So we bind that spirit of fear right now and render you powerless in all of our lives. We speak the peace and assurance of God into and over every one of us and every part of our lives in Jesus' name. Okay. You want me to read, or do you have more to say at the moment?
No. I don't have anything more to say. I want to read the story.
Okay.
But now, she did a good job of preaching that in 15 minutes.
She sure did.
And now let's just read it, and let's let the Word of God speak.
Okay. And let me see where to start. That's what I had started doing, and then...
Come on. No,
Esther, chosen queen. Mordecai discovers the plot. Let's start there. 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
I think that's chapter 4. Yeah. Now, this is after Esther is already the queen.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to start. Are they on cover?
Yeah, I'm going to go back. I was going to start on 4, but let's start on 3, actually, because that's Haman's conspiracy against the Jews. Okay, so here we go. Chapter...
Yeah.
Okay.
This is modern-day America, read right off the page of the book of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
It's modern-day America. There's people in both sides of the party line, so you can't call them all Democrats or all Republicans. They're on both sides of the aisle. Their hearts are wicked. They're no different than Haman. And they're doing it to destroy the believers.
Yeah.
And
they're Haman.
We're going to read it right off the pages of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go now. All right. Well, here we go.
Here we go. Chapter 3. After these things, King answer. Is there a Urius? It has a Rirus. Oh, I love these names. Promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gates bowed and paid homage to Haman, for so the king had commanded concerning him. Irritates me even to think about that.
I know this is the Old Testament story, but there ain't no different than the president putting somebody in a position, the cabinet position, whose heart is
wicked.
Long.
Yeah.
So, anyways, keep reading.
But Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you transgress the king's command?" Now it happened when they spoke to him daily and he would not listen to them that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand. For Mordecai, what a bunch of tattletales, had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus. That we all know who we're talking about. Ahasuerus, the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pure. This is the lot before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell on the 12th month. If anyone else feels inclined to read tonight, please feel free to step up. They seem to be having difficulties here. The 12th.
It's the word of God. It's very anointed. I think it's one of the coolest things that proves the power of who God is. He said there's no, in Galatians chapter 3, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. And it don't matter whether you say Ahasuerus or Ahasuerus, or it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
We know who we're talking about. Amen.
God has people all over this world, and I think it's
beautiful.
And it's fun to laugh.
It is fun to laugh.
Just don't bite your tongue when you're trying to say that stuff.
Okay, let me see. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pure, that is the lot, before Haman to determine the day and the month, until it fell on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries." So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. Why would you do that? Then the king...
Well, but see, wait. He lied. And just like these people are lying about how our children should be allowed to be mutilated.
Oh man.
And their parents not told about it. Well, that's a lie. Don't think that society anywhere allows that to happen.
Yeah.
That's just absolute wickedness.
Yeah.
From a perverse, demon-possessed person run by the spirit of Baal demanding blood sacrifice. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yes, Roger, we are reading the whole chapter. Actually, we're probably going to read several whole chapters of Esther, most of the book of Esther tonight.
And Sister Leanne will give you an update of verses, every so many verses.
Chapter 3, verse 12 is where we're at now. Then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province according to its script, and to every people in their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus, it is written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month. Isn't that horrible?
Wow.
Which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Esther agrees to help the Jews. We're in chapter 4 now. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the square in front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hadak, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hadak went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king and make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. Verse 9. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Okay.
Go.
Oh. something that pertains to what we're reading?
Something that pertains to what we're reading? All of that.
Chapter 4, verse 9. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai told them, "Answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews in another place, from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to return this answer to Mordecai. "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Verse 17. Then
That's what the lady was saying. What was her name again?
Paula.
Huh?
Paula?
Paula Hammond?
Yeah. We heard it grinding too. Thank you, Dan. Yeah, first we named her Susan and then Paula. Oh, my.
Anyway.
Shall I continue? There we go.
Yes, we shall continue.
Chapter 4, verse 17. Then Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Esther's banquet. Chapter 5. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. She had to have been so scared. Across from the...
Talk about courage.
I guess. Across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half my kingdom." So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted you. What is your request? Up to half my kingdom. It shall be done." Verse 7. Then Esther answered and said, "My petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." Haman's plot against Mordecai. This is verse 9. So Haman went out.
I love this part of the story right here.
I know. It's really good.
I love it.
So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. And he sent and called for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, all the ways in which the king had promised him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, "Besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared, and tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king." Oh, yes, you are. Verse 13. "Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends said to him, 'Let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet.' And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made." The king.
Overnight.
Yeah. Yep, they were some busy carpenters. The king honors Mordecai. Chapter 6.
There comes the dream. There comes the dream. And this is why we pray this every single night of your life. Pray this over the leaders of our nation.
Amen.
Every night, pray for them to have dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
That night the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him.
Go God.
Amen. And to weave all of these events together for the results.
Go Jesus.
All right, verse 5. The king's servant said to him, Haman is there, standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes. Then he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, hasten, take the robe and the horse. I just love this. As you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai, the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. I hope you guys are all enjoying this as much as we are. This is just so awesome. Verse 11. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house, mourning, and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Haman hanged instead of Mordecai. This is chapter 7. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you, and what is your request? Up to half my kingdom. It shall be done. Then Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, be killed and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he, and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. I bet he was just, oh my goodness. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the palace or to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house? As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 feet high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Wow. Then the king's wrath subsided. Esther saves the Jews. This is chapter 8. On the day King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil plot of Haman, the Agagite, and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. Verse 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that will come on my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to turn my page. Esther and Mordecai, the Jew, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree for the Jews, as you please, in the king's name. And seal it with the king's signet ring. For a letter which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Hallelujah. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. Verse 10, and he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses bred from swift steeds. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, to plunder their possessions. On one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves to their enemies. 14. Then the couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened, and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. Now Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. I love it. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday, that many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. Hallelujah. We might as well do chapter 9 too, huh? Yeah, because that talks about the Feast of Purim. So chapter 9. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred. In that, the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought to their harm. And no one could withstand them because fear of them fell upon all of the people. And all the officials of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai became increasingly prominent. Verse 5, thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Shushan the citadel, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also, Pershandatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Paratha, Adaliah, Eridatha, Parmashta, Arisai, Aridai, and Vajesatha. Oh, those are the names, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews they killed. But they did not lay a hand on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan the citadel was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the citadel, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done. Then Esther said, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men at Shushan, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's provinces gathered together and protected their lives and rest from their enemies and killed 25,000 of their enemies. But they did not lay a hand on the plunder. I know you're talking a lot of people. This isn't a little community fighting. This is cities. cities. Verse 17, this was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the month they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. The Feast of Purim, verse 18, but the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day as well as on the 14th day, and on the 15th day of the month they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the in-walled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day of gladness and feasting, as a holiday, and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. It's like Christmas. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had tasked Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. So they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who should join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with the words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves, for their descendants, concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Mordecai's Advancement, Chapter 10. And King Ahasuerus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might, and the account of the greatest of Mordecai to which the king advanced him. Wow. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus, and was great among the Jews, and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his kindred. That is a wonderful story.
That's a wonderful story. Love
it.
We should read regularly.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Good to say, look what our God does.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of what the enemy thinks he's doing. Look what our God does.
Amen. Amen.
Because our God is God. The rest of them are just all false gods.
Yeah, and you know, the proverb teaches us to not joy when calamity comes upon another, but with a wicked Haman, I believe that it's not just acceptable, but expected of us to hate that wickedness and to joy at its calamity.
And to be glad that the wickedness is over.
Yeah. Amen.
We're never glad when people are destroyed.
When people are destroyed, right.
But we're never glad when that happens. But you know, when wickedness is stopped, we give glory to God.
Amen.
That's just how bad it is.
Ours is an awesome God. Yes, he is, Sunday. Yes, he is. And Roger, thank you so much for always welcoming everybody to the program. You do a great job with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you. So, where are we at and what are we doing and why is this so important to us, Pastor? Well, in the day that we live, we've got to see the same thing come to pass in our land because of the wickedness and the perversity of people today. And you start thinking about the wickedness that is on this whole abortion thing. And sex change thing, and then you just realize, these are some really, 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 really bad people.
Yeah.
And you and I are the force on this earth that's standing against it. You and I are the force against it. We are literally standing against this thing. And if we don't stand against it, then who will?
Yeah.
We must stand against it.
And remember who we are. That's why Pastor named tonight's program, because in the midst of this all, we need to remember who we are so that we stand against this.
Because who we are is God's force on this earth.
Yes. Amen.
We are literally God's force on this earth. We are his voice. We are his hands. We are his feet. We're his mouth. We're the voice of prayer. We're the word of rebuke to this wickedness. And the reality is, if we're silent, who's going to stand against us? We cannot be silent.
We cannot be silent, amen.
We cannot be silent. You know, I'm so fired up about reading this. I love the story, and I just go right by my road.
That's not funny.
It's only going to take about an extra 15 minutes, but it'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
What time is it here?
It is 5 to 9-ish.
All right. So that did good. Now, what's the prophetic relevance of all this, Pastor? Well, the prophetic biblical relevance of this is that you and I are God's governing body of authority on this earth.
Amen.
Now, you might say, I never even heard anybody say that before in my whole life. I know you gotta get around people that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and believe in the Church of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. You gotta get around people that believe in the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard that. I always heard it's called the Church. But that word church is the word ecclesia. And it actually means God's governing the body of authority on this earth.
That's us.
And that's us. And it's really a position of very high distinct honor.
Amen. Did we lose you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just turned a corner. So, you know, when you look at it, people say, well, how do you figure we got this much authority on this earth? Well, let's go to the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read verses 26 through 31. This is God's first declaration to man. His first assignment for us that he ever had is right here. And you know what? This is now we're going to see. But and it's interesting. I can tell I got somebody with me tonight that this is like all new revelation to you. And that's good.
Revelation is wonderful. Amen.
Revelation is the word of God coming alive on the page in a manner. All of a sudden, it makes such great sense. And you begin to see things you've never seen before. And thank God for that.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Read that.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
God said, have dominion over the whole earth.
Have dominion, yep.
You and I have been given by God dominion over this whole earth. Now, that they subjected all of mankind underneath the rulership of that wicked fallen angel.
Yeah.
He's not a god. He's just an angel that was created on the same day every other angel was created. And so, you know, just he could have given him some kind of great, big, powerful authority. He don't have any.
Amen.
He's already been cursed and twice cursed, and then he'll be chained and thrown into the bottomless pit where his torment will be forever because he raised his head and he raised his hand against Almighty God. So God's first assignment to man was tend and keep the garden. And, you know, you can say, remember who you are. It was Esther and Mordecai I had to do. And Haman had to remember who he wasn't. That was a good one. I made it funny, Roger.
It was a good one, too.
Well, you know, here's the deal. When we remember God's assignment for us is be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion, when we realize that's who God is, and that's what he wants from us, then there ain't no mistaking from that point on our position on this earth. And we must continually live in that authority day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day. And thank God for that. Now, I want to go to one more set of verses. What time is it?
9 o'clock. 9:02.
All right. Let's go to Hebrews 12:1-2.
All right. Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Right hand of the throne of God.
Now think about this. Wow, that's nasty looking. Man, I missed my turn and I'm about 6 trucks deep here. It'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
So, we've got lots of time to receive communion. And now, why I had this man read the verse in Hebrews is that when we begin to get the revelation, now, of course, I'm going to get somebody a piece of information now, and you're going to be, you know, this is going to be good information for you. But when we get this revelation, all right, author and the finisher of the faith actually lives on the inside of us, then all of a sudden, it's not about, you know, having this cute little Christian, and I just go and do my little churchy thing on Sunday and Wednesday, and it's good. I love God, He loves me, and aren't you all glad? So happy that we all love each other. So the author and the finisher of faith lives inside of you. Now that is huge.
It is huge.
That is huge. All of a sudden we realize God's got a lot bigger plan than just me being a cute little Christian. Because when the author and the finisher of faith looks at it, now faith itself is in you. Faith.
Yeah.
Faith himself. And so now we got to look and say, Jesus, help me be everything I'm supposed to be on this earth. And of course, He will help me be everything. And everything is absolutely going to be making a difference in somebody's life somewhere on a daily basis.
Amen.
And you are not like you and I just look at your life and say, "Dear my Lord, send me." And I'm sure you can tell I'm like all kinds of fired up. I'm stuttered and stuttered and sputtered in. And why? Because it does mean situation, the world, and all over the world, suffering is not this unfit. But grab a hold of what we are, the king, and the king couldn't sleep. And when he came to, he said, "Well, get the book of the Chronicles. Somebody get that book of the Chronicles, man. Bring it over here. Somebody bring that over here. I gotta beat that." You know how the thing would be? What is it? He's troubled on the inside. He's looking at me. What am I gonna do here? And God turns the whole situation in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying about where America is right now.
Yeah.
May the eyes of people's understanding be flooded with enlightenment by a dream and a vision at night of their belief in God.
Yeah.
May they come to the reality of the fact that they've connected themselves with somebody who are not good people. And they just flee. And they flee very quickly. And, you know, when we get this revelation down deep inside of our life, and we let it totally transform us, it's designed by God to do.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness sakes, alive. We won't look at America as, "Oh no, we're almost lost." We'll look at America as, watch what God is doing, because He's getting ready. He's doing something really big right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I'm sure you can tell I got about 47 more things I can say, but I'm going to just leave it at that. And, you bring it on, Pastor. And then when God says that's enough, listen. Because he knows what he's talking about. And I know we've said enough. And what I love about where God's got you and I right now is we get to see by reading the Bible. I never thought much about it, I guess, because preachers stand up, they read the, you know, a text, they get the main verse, and they preach that main verse. And yet, how appropriate is it that we would just read the whole story and let God's word say what God's word says.
Amen.
And let the word of God speak. I'm a preacher, but what about what I've got to say? It's about what God Almighty is saying. Yeah, thank God for that. Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's receive our communion. Well, I guess we better pray when we get finished. Should we pray?
Sure. Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, thank you for our brothers and sisters that are with us here.
Yes. Bless them.
We know, Lord, that they're as fired up about what we just heard as we are. And we're fired up about revival, Lord. We're fired up about you doing a mighty work in the midst of us. And that work, so full of life, and so full of health and strength and victory and peace and power and might and dominion, that everywhere we go, you're the same. Cast out demons. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. Help us, Lord. And may the turnaround, may the reversal be so severe.
Yeah.
That the wicked people who've been on the other side, the wrong side of this thing, and they flock to us and say, we're going to be just like you.
Amen.
Because those people are about to get destroyed and hung forever. In Jesus' mighty name, Jesus, thank you that the wicked Nancy Pelosi has been removed and will no longer be damaging this great nation.
Amen.
With her stupid leftist agenda. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, help her turn herself to you.
Yeah.
She claimed to be a Catholic. She shouldn't act like one. Help her turn back to her roots, Lord. Find you.
Yes.
In your judgment, judgment has to happen on these people because of their perversity. May every mom and every dad whose child has been mutilated, may they sue to the nth degree of the law and win.
Yeah.
And may they find the healing power of that you have brought, Jesus, and their child be taken and be restored to his position of life and health.
Amen. Amen.
We speak healing. Come
yes,
to our children.
Restore Jesus. Those children.
Father, for every one of our young ladies right now that are being told to carry these dolls out in the street and rip the head off and spread ketchup all over, for every one of our children that's being told this, our young people, have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy. May they have a dream, a vision of a of the baby that you want them to have. In heaven saying, Mom, where are you? Where are you? And that mothering instinct come from deep within them and cause them to turn so strongly and swiftly against this that they become the most loud proponent of life.
Amen.
That has ever heard. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Every one of these wicked proposals in every state, we command that the blinders should be off, the lies should be exposed, and the wickedness brought to justice.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans. If there are people who claim to be pastors of churches, expose their wickedness, Lord. Expose their wickedness.
Yes.
Because this vile perversion is not what America is about. Blessed is the God, the nation, whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And we give you glory. And we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now, if you want to hear that prayer again and write it down, that'd be a good thing. If you do that, send a copy to me. All right. But here's the deal. We got to pray these prayers like this on a regular basis. Because this is the answer. This truly is the answer in Jesus' mighty name. I'll keep preaching on it. We got to be done. Father, bless us now as we take these communion elements and receive them together. You said to the disciples, the fervent desire, I have desired to receive this with you. And Lord, with fervent desire, we've been looking forward all day to receiving this communion with you.
Amen.
And enjoying the life that is in it for us.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. This is how it works here. We read the verses out of 1 Corinthians. And then we pray the prayer of salvation. So that we know everybody that's within the sound of our voice is right with God. And then we will, after we pray the prayer of salvation, we'll give you a couple minutes of instruction for those of you that are just finding Jesus, and for those of you that might just be coming back first time in a long time. And then we'll bless the elements and receive them together. That's how we do it. All the time here in Jesus' mighty name. Now, by the way, do you know what that means? I mean, I can actually open my Bible and read the verses myself.
Wow. Hallelujah. You miss doing that, huh?
I do miss it. God gave me my own little Bible reading holder. It fits my Bible just perfectly. And the speed wheel that's on my steering wheel holds the holder.
You should turn on your camera so we can see.
Wow. No, isn't that something? I do have one of those things.
You do. And here comes Roman to pray with us. Yeah, come over here. Come here. Thank you, Sunday, so much for putting the verses in for us.
Yeah, thank you, little holder right there for my Bible.
Wow, that is very nice. Very nice steering wheel Bible holder.
It's like market, this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got the top. You know, it's just the top off of the top. All right.
And they probably wouldn't want to encourage people to be reading while they're driving.
No, but as Brother Dan would say, every truck driver has been in a parking lot somewhere, and if they don't have, you gotta find a way to put your stuff on something.
Yeah.
Where it's flat, you get to read it, and there it is right there. It works really good. So here we go, 2 Corinthians. Oh, let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23. Who all is with us over on YouTube?
Sunday. And I don't know who else.
Right. And 17 other people. Well, yep. All of you.
Yep.
Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is when Jesus met with the Apostle Paul and revealed to him the communion process. And so here we go, verse number 23. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you." Right, and to the Corinthian church, to teach them about the communion elements. Then the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take my body, which is broken for you. Do this, and remember it of me." In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes." Verse number 26, "Let a man examine himself." No, verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Verse 30. Verse 31, "We would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, Jesus, so are we in perfect love. Cast out fear, torment that goes with it. There is no fear in God's perfect love. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Fear, I bind you. That's what I said. Fear, we bind you.
Fear, we bind you.
Get off of people's lives.
Get off of people's lives, amen.
The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the broken body of Christ is their answer. It is not a curse. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, we go back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. The church for years focused on the verse, "Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ. And one of the other verses says you will literally drink damnation into your life. Well, here's the reality. If you're coming here right now with the desire to have God in your life, then it's going to be impossible for you to be drinking it unworthily. Because you want God in your life. When you want God in your life, then you're worthy. That's what makes you worthy. You want God to diligently seek you. That makes you worthy. If you've never been to Jesus, the Lord of your life, pray that your salvation with us. We pray it every time we come here. But you never know who's going to listen to this video. Have the opportunity to be right with God.
Amen.
Pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it, Lord.
So here's my bold statement.
So here is my bold statement.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life
with all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
I love it. I just love it. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome.
Amen.
Welcome. That prayer you just prayed is the... It's the greatest prayer that you can pray up to this point in your life. Now, we're going to teach you how to pray a bunch of other prayers. But that prayer just made you right with God completely.
Amen.
I was so fired up when I prayed because you realize I am leading you to say, fill me with all the full fullness of God. And he did.
And he did.
Now, many of us have prayed this prayer so many times that God might have got a little old to us. And what you got to do every time you pray, say, no, this, I won't get this as familiar here. No. I'm going to say this out loud, on purpose. And this is the first time I heard it. And God will be upon us. You know? And so what does that mean? You just fulfill with all of the fullness of God. You just were filled with all the fullness of God. Well, how can he do that? I didn't go to Bible college. Oh, he did it because that's what he said he's going to do. That's it. Said it, and therefore it did.
Amen.
And, when you think about, you just receive all the fullness of God. It's going to take you a while to figure out how.
God has used all this power.
Yeah.
Brother Rogers, but this is, he served in the United States military. He'll tell you during boot camp, they might issue you something that looks like a gun, and weight feels like a gun, and feels like a gun. But you don't have no bullet in it anywhere, because until everybody gets themselves in order and can follow orders, we ain't put no weapon in anybody's hands so we can shoot each other. And that's what, this is what you have to do in the kingdom, is you have to learn how to use these powerful weapons and all of this authority that God's just put on the inside of you. You're still dealing with all the fullness of God and take to live on the inside of you. That's how I feel. We're here 7 days a week, discipling you in one way or another right here on this video, just like this. I mean, I'm sitting in the seat of the semi, and the frack site. One of the coolest, most amazing industrial processes you'll ever see is sitting right here on top of this hill in North Dakota where it's about 8 degrees, going like crazy. And it's an exciting life. So we're here on purpose to help you know who God is and how to walk faith with him every day. Jesus, by the name. Well, let's receive our communion elements. Let me get mine ready here. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, take this bread, and then he gave them the fruit of the vine. And, of course, that teaches us the lesson that you find in John chapter 15, that Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Cannot abide without me, and never should you try. And so, I encourage you, get you some grape juice, eat some bread, and your crackers, keep it in the house, so that you're ready to receive communion with us, literally, every single day. This group of believers has taken communion now, almost every single day since March 22nd. Actually, I think we started like April the 6th. Almost every day. Why? Because that's how important it is for you to understand. If you do something that's a sin, don't run from God, run to him. If you find that something's trying to overpower you, don't run from communion, run to it. Run to it. Because you need the broken body and the blood of Jesus. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's bless our elements. Hold your elements up. We'll bless them. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
Either us, you can say with it. You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive this broken body together. The broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That you took all those stripes and did this for me. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Bring this with me by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force there is on the face of this earth.
The most powerful cleansing force there is on the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission in my life.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus,
by the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. I say that again. I overcome the accuser of the brethren.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
Right here, right now.
Right here and right now.
My robes are made as white as snow.
My robes are made as white as snow.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any. The glorious church.
The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's sing this one. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me my salvation,
rich and free.
Amen. Most of you in this talk, this man stopped and looked at the screen. Because all of a sudden something happens and you're like, oh no, how do we stop it? How do we change that? And where did that come from?
It was our Blog Talk Radio lady that was, she was speaking the same time you were, and I couldn't hear what you were saying over her. But yeah, that does happen.
It's all right.
Yep.
And it's all right. Remember who you are.
Mm-hmm. And our Father, within us, and brought us into our faith. He'll wipe out the enemy all around us.
Yes.
But you got to keep your heart right. And thank God for that. In Jesus' name, well.
Amen. Good night, Sunday. Love you.
Good night, Sunday. We love you.
God bless your sleep. And we declare you have dreams and visions.
Amen. So does Dane.
Amen. And your instruction is sealed.
And the instruction is sealed within you.
Amen.
I love it. I don't even have to worry about what it is.
Yeah.
God is your God. I'm your master. That's one of the coolest revelations you could ever receive.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Well, here we go with our closing verses. Jude verse 20. Verse 2, beloved. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You got to pray in the Holy Spirit. And you got to do it every day. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Keep yourself in the love of God. The gift of praying in tongues is so much more valuable than just somebody standing up in a church service and giving a tongue and then giving an interpretation. If you have a real powerful church, that might be 9 hours a week. But you got a whole lot more than 9 hours in a week where you need God to move in great power and great strength.
Yeah, amen.
That's what praying in the Spirit gives you the ability to do. Now, I'm just preaching verse 24. Unto him, able to keep you from stumbling. From stumbling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. God, our Savior, who alone is wise, in glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And we just go to Revelation chapter 1. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 5. And we'll read it right out of Revelation 5, verses 8 through 10. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its book, its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. In Jesus' mighty name. Yeah.
Jesus' mighty name.
Close your hands up. Do this with me. We draw in the net and reap every soul.
We draw in the net and reap every soul.
That hurt us tonight, they'll understand it.
That hurt us tonight, and they'll understand it.
And they'll see exactly what we were talking about.
And they'll see exactly what we were talking about. Amen.
And walk with you every day.
and walk with you.
Put your hands up. I receive my 100-fold return. For serving in the ministry tonight.
For serving in the ministry tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We choose to use it on earth to preach the gospel.
We choose to use it on earth to preach the gospel.
And establish your covenant in Jesus' mighty name.
And establish your covenant in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Dan, Brother Rogers, this is Sunday. If you got anything else you want to share, got something on your heart, you saw something I didn't see, speak now. Or wait, speak now. Or lay down and just go to sleep. I made it funny, Roger. Love you, brother. Got it for everybody? Tomorrow's another day, remember? We don't have morning prayer Saturday. Tomorrow night will be question and answer. Let's get some really good questions for tomorrow night. No, we always have good questions. But if you have one, shoot it to me in an email. And we'll have a good time tomorrow night answering the question. We got blessed for Saturday. As you're getting ready for Thanksgiving, man, Thanksgiving is next Thursday. God is already. Wow, 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 wow. Thank you, Lord. And we declare that every one of you that's going to be with your family and you're worried about that situation, remember, Job 33, verses 14 through 18, pray it over the violent critters in your life. Because God wants to give them a dream and steal their instruction for their life. And show up at the Thanksgiving no longer gnarly, but born again. And walking with God, Jesus, by your name. Till we see you again, that's what we say. Have a best.
We love you. And God loves you. And
Jesus is
Lord. Night, everyone. We love you.
Remember to click out of YouTube first.
I did. I did.
So I'll come back now, dear.